Area Voices tells the arts, cultural, and history stories of northwestern Minnesota. Northern Progressives of Cook are holding their meeting tonight at 6:30 at the Crescent Bar and Grill north of Cook. Nevada Little Wolf will speak. She was the first Anishinaabe woman elected to the Virginia City Council, and she was named a 2016 Bush Fellow, which led to her initiative RAIL, Rural and Indigenous Leadership. It's a nonprofit focused on growing women's leadership in rural and Indigenous communities.
We are so glad to have Nevada Little Wolf with us this morning. Thanks for taking the time to call in and be here, Nevada.
Yes, no problem. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm curious of what drove you to run for office for city council?
So this was back in 2007, and mostly I'm just like very interested in my community and wanted to be a part of, you know, making community decisions, and that is what drove me to run for city council.
And how's it? What's it been like?
Well, it's been a very educational experience, I would say, and you know, I think that the best part of it is that I can bring a diverse perspective to our council. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being a member of the Leech Lake Nation, being a woman, being a mother, having a daughter who has a disability, and not seeing really anyone else on the council that looks like me.
I mean, right.
That I think has been the best part of it, is just making sure that there's a diverse voice there and diverse representation. And certainly since 2007, we have seen younger people come onto the council and other women come onto the council, you know, other people with children. And but when I started, it wasn't like that. So it's good to see that now, and it's good to make sure that we have those different voices there, different perspectives.
Right.
What are some of the issues that are coming to the forefront in your time on the city council?
Well, Virginia in the last few years has been dealing with a pretty significant thing with Highway 53 rerouting and this whole accelerated building of a new highway and bridge so that the mining company can, you know, take their the land that they have and continue to mine it. And so that's been a pretty significant thing. It's going to change the way that people come into our town. And, of course, it changes, you know, our opportunities around economic development and those kinds of things.
Hmm. Is it rerouting the road around town? Is that what's happening?
It's Highway 53 comes into Virginia, and so what's going to happen is that it will still come into Virginia. It just will take a loop out over a mine pit, actually, and it's going to be the largest bridge in Minnesota.
Wow.
The highest bridge in Minnesota. It's the Minnesota Department of Transportation, when they talk about it, they say that there's never been a project like this before where they built a bridge over a mine pit. So when people drive over the bridge into Virginia, they're going to see the old mine pit and sort of, you know, it's beauty in its own right. I mean, mm-hmm. as much as mining, it is not necessarily a beautiful thing that people think is a beautiful thing. It's still, you know, you'll see this sort of landscape that you normally don't see.
You are a mom. You're a Native woman. You've got a child with some disability, Down syndrome?
Yes.
Is that right? So
yes.
You are a role model for a lot of people. Who did you look to? Who are role models in your life?
I think first and foremost, my older sister has always been a role model to me. And she really connected me with other people that I probably, as a young person, wouldn't have been connected with. As a young person, I identified as an artist. I went to the statewide arts high school in Golden Valley. I wouldn't say that I ever felt really politically engaged, but my sister worked for Paul Wellstone's office here in Virginia, and so because of that, I was able to get connected to Paul Wellstone, as well as other leaders in the community, and it just turned out that those leaders were women. And, you know, people like former county commissioner Prebitch and folks who worked for other women that worked for Wellstone's office or other women that were doing work in the community with, like, Range Women's Advocates or other women's organizations. But Paul Wellstone would, which feels crazy to me now, you know, when he would come through the area, he would, like, literally call me. And to have a senator call, you know, a young person, and I was doing work at that time in youth, kind of youth work or youth crisis, and, I mean, he would call me and just say, hey, Nevada, how are things going? How are the kids doing that you're working with? And I just want to tell you that I'm really happy that you're doing this type of work because we need people doing this type of work. So as a young person, that felt really important.
Absolutely.
Kind of crazy, right? But a senator would call me and say that. Paul Wellstone did this with a lot of young people that he connected with. And he also would tell the young people, you know, someday you will run for office. Someday you will be a leader. And I know he has told many, many, many people across the state this that he is connected with because I'm now connected with them, and they'll share a very similar story to me that that he said that to them. And so it's, you know, and somebody like Paul, it's very, like, obviously if he took the time to call someone like me, he very much had this connection to community. He very much had connection to tribal people, indigenous people, and really valued and respected sort of the diversity of Minnesota.
Right.
It sounds like that idea of connections is really important. And we're talking to Nevada Little Wolf, the 2016 Bush Fellow and Virginia City Council member. Nevada, with those that idea of connections, how does that fit in with the Bush Fellowship and your initiative with Rail? How does it seems like making connections must be a part of that?
Yeah, I actually started Rail a few years ago. I was working for a national nonprofit called the White House Project, and we were training women to run for public office. And this was it was based out of New York City, and I was one of their field officers. And hired to work in rural communities. So I co-developed training around rural women's leadership, and then kind of what naturally happened with that was that, and I guess by my identity, was that we started also developing specific training for tribal indigenous women as well, because by and large, tribal communities are in rural communities, and mm-hmm. Well, there certainly is an American Indian population in urban areas. The tribal rural communities kind of fell under, you know, my purview in terms of developing curriculum and training for them. And certainly tribal communities have, you know, different issues than communities at large. And American Indian women can vote and run for office in both their sovereign tribal nation, as well as state, local, and federal government. So through the White House Project, I was developing these training modules and recruiting women to, you know, like to be a part of our trainings and helping women get to the place where they could run for office. The White House Project switched gears a little bit, and so I, like, took the work that I was doing and basically created Rail, which is... it is, you say connections, and I agree with that. Like, we, a lot of people will talk about this, like, political pipeline that, you know, you're supposed to just put people into it, and they're going to shoot out the other end somewhere, right? So we don't talk about it like that. We really talk about it, like, we really like the fact that Rural American Indigenous Leadership acronyms out to Rail, because we've really embraced this idea of a rail system that we're connecting people. We're transporting people. We're it's accessible. All of those things is what we want for the women that we're working with. And in rural communities, especially, women are often not connected and often feel isolated. And whether it's geography or other things. So we are really trying to make sure that there's a space for women in rural communities, that they can connect and that they can, grow their own leadership abilities as well as champion issues and policies that they care about.
And when that happens, and as you're doing that, how do you think that will impact each community where these leaders are developed?
Well, in recent statistics, we know that one-third of our legislative districts have no female representation.
Right.
And the majority of those are in rural regions. More than 50% of our county commissions in Minnesota don't have a single woman on their commission. And again, those are by and large in rural counties. And at the city council level statewide, 72% of all council members are male, and only one in four councils have no women. And also, the lack of representation is even higher for women of color. So just thinking about that, right, like thinking about one-third of legislative districts have no female representation, 50% of county commissions don't have a woman, and 72% of councils are all male. I mean, you just think about that, and what we're doing could really change the face of what we see in leadership. And when we have women at the table, certainly decisions are made in a different way because those perspectives are there, and they're not there right now. So it's important. This is something I always say, and I feel like people have heard me say it a million times, but, there's studies that show that if you have, like, two tables of people, and one is a table of experts and the other is a table of diverse people, and you give them the same issue or problem to solve, conventional wisdom would say, oh, of course, the experts are going to solve that problem, and they're going to come up with the best solution. The reality of the situation is that that's not true. It's the diverse table, mm-hmm. the diverse people that actually come up with a better solution to the problem. And so we really need to see the diversity of our communities represented in our leadership.
It has been a big week in America. The end of the term of our first African-American president, inauguration of President Trump, as well as the Women's March that was bigger than anyone ever could have predicted. And I understand you were there in D.C., is that right?
Yes, I was.
Tell us your impressions of that.
It was really an amazing time to be there. And, I will say that, just personally for myself, I was a Hillary Clinton supporter, and really thought she was going to win the election. I booked my travel and flight and everything the week before the election.
Uh-huh.
So when the election happened, it was, personally heartbreaking to me, and it just, as well as I know it was for many people across the country. So being there, I think, during the time of the inauguration of, her competitor, that was hard, but I will say that talking to folks who were there that were there for the inauguration or for the inauguration festivities was good for me to just be able to have those kinds of conversations with somebody that had a different view.
Sure.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I, I'm a very respectful person, and I take the time to listen to people. And even though it's, sort of challenging, I did that, and I also was able to observe a protest that happened at the National Press Club and talk to some folks there and sort of hear their perspective as well. So just kind of seeing America, and that's, I think, this last week in D.C. was like, is like you just saw all of America congregated in a place. And the most inspiring and exceptional thing was the Women's March, and rail brought 17 people out there on with the Minnesota buses, and I want to say that there was like 6 or 7 Minnesota buses that came to D.C. for the Women's March.
Oh.
So that was pretty significant, and My son was on the bus, so it was really great to meet him on Saturday morning and then spend the day with him.
How old is he?
He is 16.
What did he think of all this?
I think he really enjoyed it. I mean, so here's the thing. Mika, my son, has been coming with me to community meetings since he was in the second grade when I first ran for city council, and he has worked on all of my campaigns. So he's, you know, unfortunately for him, I think, has been, you know, involved in the community because his mom is involved in the community.
Sure. Fortunately for him, I should say.
I think he's growing into it. But, yeah, I think that, you know, like for him to go to D.C., this was his first time in D.C., and for to go there for this reason, yeah, I think it was probably transformational for him, too, just to see all the people. And there were just so many people. They just, like, we were marching. We were marching with the unions, and, you know, we came from Garfield Park into the center of where this was happening, and we would just see every street in every direction. There were just as many people marching towards that center, and as we kept marching, it just continued that way. Mm-hmm. It just, like, every single street people were coming in, and, you know, there were predictions about the size, but you're right, like, it blew everyone away. And then even the global marches, I mean, what I heard was there's march on every continent, including Antarctica. So it's just such solidarity for women's issues and, you know, making sure that there's intersectionality and inclusiveness in those values and ideas that we were marching for.
Incredibly powerful.
Thanks for sharing that information. That's really an interesting experience that we have been wanting to hear and have heard some from people, but it's fun to hear one more perspective on that. It was a big day in the United States. And thanks for calling us and talking with us this morning, Nevada. I wish you well in your term on the city council and with your rail initiative.
Yeah, thanks for all you're doing for the region and the community of people. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. All right, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Nevada Little Wolf. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.